welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
We've got a slightly different morning this morning because I'm going to kick us off, and then Brian's got also got something that he's going to come and talk about that follows on from it, okay? We are actually at a very significant new development. Some of you have heard about it, but Brian's going to tell you mostly about it. I'll tell you about it in a bit more. And it links in really with what God has been saying. If you look back at what God's been saying in August and September, just after Faith Camp, I don't know if it was the first message, but certainly right after Faith Camp, there was the message, Open the East Window. Don't know if you remember that one. About banging the arrows on the floor. It was open the east window, look towards the rising sun, get your eyes off the west, which is like materialism and trying to fulfill your own life because there's a futility in that. But go for God this direction and take hold of the arrows. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll tell you the Bible passage later on and you can read it up. But the king had to pick the arrows up and smash them on the floor and smash them passionately, taking hold of the promises and the things that the prophet had spoken over from God. And God's message was, take hold of the things I've spoken over your life, over the life of this church, and passionately pray them into being. Passionately take hold of them and do them. All right, the next time I preached to you, I told you don't come to this church. I'm going to keep saying it because I like it. Don't come to this church. All right, there's not a church to come to. We are the church. Be the church. Live the church. Live out the life of the church. Let's be the church together. Let's be the community. Let's be the family God has called it to be. Quickly followed up by do nothing. All right, some people were really excited about these messages. Do nothing except let Christ live through you. And we were looking, if you remember in those weeks, at Acts 2, where it says that the disciples, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. They didn't wait for somebody to kick them up the bottom. They didn't wait for a phone call. They didn't wait for a cheery email. They didn't wait. They didn't sit at home going, nobody loves me. They devoted themselves. They got on with it. If they didn't have any friends, they went and made friends. If they needed help, they went and asked for help. You know, sometimes in a marriage where you get that situation that the husband, you know something is wrong. And you know you're not being told what's wrong because you should know what's wrong. Yeah. And you don't because we're men. Well, I want you to know there is a man in charge of this church. And if something's going wrong, I might not know. It might be that the Lord is prompting you to say, actually, can you help us with this? All right, and obviously not just me, it's talking about the body collectively. Because in this situation, even the women can be men. They don't notice. Hallelujah. We just need to help one another. So they devoted themselves. What did they devote themselves to? The teaching, the fellowship, getting together with one another. The breaking of bread in their homes, they shared communion together in their homes, and to prayer. They prayed together. The four key things for any church to grow is to devote ourselves, to devote yourself to the teaching, to fellowship with one another, to the breaking of bread together, and to prayer. Because that's what the early church did, and it was remarkably successful. Then, last time, I suppose you could summarize it as, what do you have in your hand? Or, we are the champions. I even dared to play you a Queen track. We are the champions. But what do you hold in your hand? And we looked at Moses' story of the Lord telling him, what do you have in your hand? He said, a staff. He's thinking, what's the Lord want to know why I've got my shepherd's staff in my hand? And the Lord says to him, well, throw it to the ground and let me show you what I can do. Okay, and that's where we're going to pick up from, really, this week. It's actually called this week, Don't Come In on Monday Morning, but we'll get to that. All right? So, what do you hold in your hand? Last week we looked at it and discussed, thought about things that you have or the future. All right? Are you, at this time, was the challenge, going to take your prophetic role in Yorkshire, seriously, or wherever you're from? Are you going to seize this day of opportunity? The days of favour, the Lord said. If I come across a great verse in Ecclesiastes, it says, go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that the Lord favours what you do. That's a good verse. You like that one again? I mean, that just speaks of enjoying life in all its fullness to me. Sometimes we can get a little bit tied up with, what does the Lord want me to do? Well, here you are. Here's an instruction from the Lord. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that the Lord favours what you do. Can you get better than that? Go and have a party. Gather the friends round and have a party. Enjoy your life. Go to weddings and turn the water into wine. Have a great time. Jesus came full of life. He was attractive because of the life that he came with, this joy pouring out of every part of his body. Enjoy your life. Yeah, there are other things we've got to do, and God will speak to us and give us specific instructions. But at the end of the day, enjoy a meal. Have a nice bottle of wine and be joyful in the Lord. For this is the time of him favouring us. And do you know what it even says there? Look, because it is now that the Lord favours what you do. When you have the meal with your friends, you've got people around, the Lord's favour is upon you because you're being obedient to the Lord. I mean, was there ever an easier instruction? Gather your friends and have a meal together and the Lord's favour is upon you. I mean, that's nice. That's easy. We can do that one. Hallelujah. Seize the day of opportunity. So, have a good meal. Have a curry night. Amen. Amen. 4th of October. Spicy lobster. The spice lobster. 10th of October. That's the one. Yeah. Don't go on the 4th or you'll get an extra curry. And probably be a bit lonely. They don't like me. Nobody likes me. They didn't come. It was a setup. Are you going to rise up to fulfill your sovereign calling? Every person in this room has got a destiny and a purpose in the Lord. You might not feel like it, but the thing is, the Lord's picked you to be here because he's got a purpose for your life, so that you could hear what God's got to say into your life this morning to sort of feel, yes, I can do this. I can rise up. It is a time of favour. Now is the year of the Lord's favour, it says. Now is the year of the Lord's unmerited favour, the year of the Lord's grace. He will enable you to do what you couldn't do. And the Lord, this isn't really a very deep message this morning. It's just a very gentle uplifting into really more of what God has been saying to us. Do you remember last April, if you were here, James Maloney came for that weekend, really where God launched us into the move of God that we've been having since. And one of the things he prophesied at the time was God was releasing fresh oil. Do you remember that? And that's part of fulfilling our prophetic role. Can you remember what the prophetic oil, not the prophetic oil, what the fresh oil was for? He gave three distinct things that he said this fresh oil will sort of mark you out as a church. One was authority. One was joy. And one was fruitfulness. You see, as we stand up in what God has done now, open the east window, do nothing, don't come to church, there will be an authority that's on the church that overcomes the world. There will be an I'm in charge over the spiritual world that rules where previously you didn't see victory. Why are we seeing more miracles and healings in the church than we've ever seen before? Because we've learnt to stand in our authority. We went up to the castle yesterday. I mean, I've lived in Scarborough just over a year, and I still hadn't been to the castle, but our friends Paul and Joe are up, and we went up to the castle. And it was really while we were walking around and standing there, and the castle, of course, sort of appears like that logo on our Kingdom Faith Yorkshire stuff. And it's always been significant because of the verse, "The Lord is our stronghold." And I was standing there, and I suddenly realised, standing there and listening to the different bits of history and all the time that it's been there, you know, there's been 3,000 years, it's been significant in terms of people coming to that point and saying, we're in charge of this area. We rule here. We're the dominant power. Other times, like when the castle's built, it's still saying, the castle took King John, I think it was, 10 years to build as he refurbished the whole lot and spent loads of money on it. It was one of his most expensive castles in Britain. I didn't realise that, you know, that Britain was ruled so much from, or England was ruled so much from Scarborough. But every king that was there, they built for themselves something impressive to say, I'm in charge. And the walls were built around it and the gatehouses were built to say, this is a safe place to run to in times of trouble. There's a double-sided message. A safe place, the Lord is my strong tower. The righteous will run into it and they are safe. But it also says, this is the dominant power in this region. In fact, in King John's case, this is the dominant power in this nation. Amen. And just standing there in the castle, you realize the number of people that have done that there in that castle in the natural over the years. And suddenly there were we over this past year, and there I was standing in the castle realizing we're saying the same thing. The Lord is a strong tower. It's a safe place. Come into the safe place in times of trouble. The Lord will sort you. He will make you safe. He will see that you are saved, healed, delivered. Yeah? But also it says, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the dominant power in this region. We're looking out from this castle over Scarborough and saying, this town belongs to the Lord. It may be named over some Viking called Thorgils, whose nickname was Scarthy, which either means hair, lip, or I can't remember what the other one is. But anyway, Scarborough means Scar's stronghold. So it's probably, they think, where the name came from. But it's not Scar's stronghold, it's the Lord's stronghold. It's the Lord's borough. I don't mind calling it Scarborough, just as long as we all remember it's really the Lord's borough. This is the Lord's stronghold. This is the Lord's strong tower. So if you ever get a chance to go up in the tower, go and stand up in the... you can go and stand in the King's Chamber, half of which is missing, of course, because it was blown up in the English Civil War. But you can stand there in the King's Chamber, that's what it's called, and you can look out over Scarborough and think, this chamber belongs to me. Because he's the King of Kings, so you're the King. You have the authority over this town. Are you going to rise up and fulfill your sovereign calling? We can make a difference in this town. Supernaturally, in the spirit, and in the natural. Yeah? Yeah. It's a oil that gives us authority, but it comes with a joy. That's why we leap around such mad things in the worship. And it comes with fruitfulness. That's why the church is growing. It's why people are being healed. It's why people are coming to know the Lord. And as we step out in it, we see it. Yeah? As we open the east window, it comes into being. But if we stare to the west, if we just get on with an ordinary life, we'll miss the adventure that God's got planned. Yeah? Amen. Are we barren or are we bearing life? The question that every individual's got to ask. Are we just getting on with an ordinary Christian life or are we bearing life? Because the Lord's promise over us is bearing life. Yeah? Amen. Another thing that I love that James Maloney described the church as, he described it as a church with a contagious faith, with disarming love and passionate worship. I love that. It's in the bulletin. We keep putting it in there. It's that disarming love that's going to change Scarborough. It's going to change each one of us. It's going to blast out in our faces, as it were. So are you going to redesign the future? Or are you going to let somebody else with a different itinerary and a different program, maybe a secular one or one of another religion, redesign the future and you're just living theirs? Because I tell you, you're the king in the chamber up there. That's where the rulers of the nation under him would come to him and get favor from the king. They would seek his favor to do whatever they wanted. They would come in and, you know, they would try and sort of get a bit pally with the king so that they could get favor from him. But you can go and stand in that king's chamber knowing that you have access to the king's chamber in heaven where you don't have to get pally with God to try and get a bit of favor because the Lord has already said, yes. My favor is for you now. Yes. These are the days of my favor. Yes. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that the Lord favors what you do. It does go on to say, mind you, in that Ecclesiastes passage, that if that's all you do, you'll find that life is meaningless, but we weren't preaching on that bit today. I'll just tell you a little story from which we're going to go on for. There's this elderly couple. We won't say how old they are, so that then we won't offend anybody that I've just called them elderly. But they've been married for 50 years. Amazing couple, married for 50 years. But the problem with this couple is they are always, always, always arguing. Every month they were arguing. Every week they were arguing. Every day there was an argument. In fact, every hour they were arguing. They'd got friends, they'd got family, but they drove their family mad with the arguing. They drove their friends mad with the arguing. In fact, they drove their neighbours mad. In fact, they drove their town mad because they were known as the arguing couple. On and on and on. It was just, But 50 years of marriage, golden anniversary is coming up. The friends and family get together and decide, let's give them a special present. And they come up with the idea to make life easier for them, really, that they'll get this big prezi and it will be an all expenses paid sessions with a psychiatrist. Well, the day comes of the Golden Wedding anniversary, and they present this gift in a sort of a written form, a big voucher, your freebie visit to Dr. Fraser, whatever it was. Same name, just a coincidence. And the couple get the gift, and of course, what happens? They argue about whether they should accept this gift. They argue about when they could make an appointment. They argue about how they would travel to the appointment. Shall we go by bus? Shall we go by train? Okay, we'll go by car. Who's going to drive? It's my turn to drive. They argue about who's going to drive. They argue about whether they're going to use a map or the sat nav. They argue about whether, even in the waiting room, they're arguing together. But the time comes, and they go in with the psychiatrist. Well, he asks questions about various things, trying to help them, but every single question he asks, it develops into, you got it, an argument. But he goes on and he persists, but eventually, after every single statement he comes up with develops into an argument, the psychiatrist is so completely frustrated that he decides to take matters into his own hands. He walks around the desk, he takes the little old woman in his arms and gives her a big, long kiss right on the lips. Hopefully a bit better than that one. Then he turns to the husband, shakes his finger, and says to him, she needs that 3 times a week. Well, the little old man looks a little bit shocked. And he says, well, doctor, if that's what you say, I guess I can do it. I'll bring her in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. Well, as I said, the point of this message is don't come in on Monday mornings. You see, what happened with this little old guy was he couldn't lift his eyes up above his ordinary everyday existence, which in his case was one of arguments. What had gone before was arguments. He knew arguments were heads, so that when he was spoken about into a life of kisses and passion, and God's calling you to a life of kisses and passion in the context of this joke, when the doctor spoke to him of kisses and passion, he could only see it as not for him, but it must be something else that somebody else had to do. And you see, the danger is when I stand up here and we share things with you like Alpha and a lot of stuff what Brian's going to talk about in a minute, the danger is you think, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. I'll bring him in on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Well, let's just say, don't come in on a Monday. Get it done yourself. It's not that everybody's got to do everything, and what Brian's going to talk about, we're not going to have, 110 people in this church all be part of it. Oh, it would seem unlikely. But there is many things that the Lord is speaking to us about practically where sometimes we've just got to think, that is me. Rather than having I'll turn up on Monday, Wednesday and Friday, like the old man in the joke. You get stuck in a way of life. He's stuck in a way of life beyond his experience. Kissing and passion, it's just gone. So he completely misunderstands the doctor and what he's saying. We need to release kissing and passion back into the church. Don't get me wrong, you know what I'm talking about. We don't want to get ourselves in trouble here. God is calling his champions to something far more than we've seen before, but we don't want to be stuck in the level of where this couple were, but let God lift us into a new place. And realize God is saying, how about this? This is different to what's happened before. Do this. Try this. In other words, what have you got in your hand? But what the problem is, people look at it and you can look at what gifts you've got and you think, I don't know, let's think of a gift. Maybe you're good at drawing. All right? And so you think, okay, what can I do to draw for the Lord? I'll draw some diagrams to go in the church bulletin or something. But the Lord is saying, whatever you've got in your hand, take hold of it and throw it on the ground. Because when Moses threw the staff on the ground, it was then that the miracle happened. It turned into a snake. He had to grab hold of it. It was scary what the Lord started to do with what he had. He had to grab hold of the end. The message here is, what have you got in your hands? Throw it on the floor. Throw it before the Lord. Don't think, what can I do with this? I'll see if I can work it out. You throw it before the Lord and say, Lord, use it. Then the miracle happens. That's why it's different. The little old man needed to kiss his wife 3 times. He needed to throw his preconceptions on the floor and just step up into giving his wife a big kiss. But because he wasn't part of it, he just missed that completely. and let, oh, the doctor's got to kiss her. That's what, you know, I'll just do what I've got. What have I got in my hand? Arguments. Throw the staff down. God takes the ordinary in our hands and it becomes the miraculous in the world. Even this verse we looked at, go eat your food with gladness, drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it's now that the Lord favours what you do. It's just ordinary stuff. But throw it to the ground, throw it open to the Lord, and who knows who the Lord's going to bring to your home? Who knows who you'll be sharing a cup of tea with, or a glass of coffee, or a glass of wine with? Who knows? But the Lord's favour is going to be upon you. What you had, if you keep it here, will just be a small, suddenly it's going to be miraculous. Yes, I'm telling you, that's what God's doing now. You're very quiet today. Yes. Very, very quiet today. Rise up.
Yes, that's right.
Thanks, Anne. Seize the passion. Walk in authority. Enjoy the joy. Watch the fruitfulness happen around you. Rise up like champions. Yeah? Now, in the context of everything we've been saying, and whether we take part in it fully or not, it's still what God has done. He's opened a remarkable door of opportunity for us. And I've mentioned it a little bit before, but... And this is to do with the street pastor scheme that's happening in the town. What's happened is the council and the police have got in touch with us and said, can you help us? Amen. Amen. This is good, this way around, you know. Amen. So often we feel that we're shut out from those kind of realms, and yet they've come to us. They've come to the church in the town. But even more amazingly... It just ended up that the way God steered it was that Brian and I found ourselves sort of in a meeting planning it all. And then the next time we went to a meeting, the council representative and the police inspector were saying to Brian, will you lead this work in Scarborough for us? Now, I walked out the meeting we'd had and I said to Brian, you know, when you've been in a town, living in a town 2 days, that's not normal, is it? But the other churches are on board. The other churches are enthusiastic about this sort of new adventure. Kate and I and Brian, we've been sort of taking policies and putting policies together and turning it into council speak rather than church speak. And I was really excited to hear from Martin, the vicar at St. Mary's. He'd been at another meeting where the council person had met with the Anglican clergy, and she was sort of telling them about what was going to be happening and telling them about it. And he said, oh, she was very much stressing that before you go out on the streets, the team would meet to pray. And they know that the whole thing about this thing is about the love of Christ being demonstrated on the streets.
Yes, amen.
Okay? I'm not going to tell too much specifics or I'll steal everything. I'll just steal the good bits. He can say the rest. Hallelujah. So, street pastors is the scheme they're known in most places. And if you want to look up the scheme, that's probably a good one to type in. There's another one which is sort of more local to Yorkshire called Street Angels. And the council actually wants us to be part of the Street Angels. It's got strengths and it's got weaknesses. Its weakness is that it's not part of the national thing. Its strength is, here in Scarborough, is that really Brian and I can frame it exactly how we want. Street pastors are very strict in the sense of, to be on a street pastor, you have to be an established member of a local congregation. Whereas the Street Angel scheme allows you to become part of it if you've got references from people that know you, if you're not a Christian. But you do have to, you still have to agree with the whole reason for going out there on the streets and what you're actually doing. And it's been found in various places that the levels of crime have been severely reduced just by these guys being on the street. Because you're meeting people, talk about what has God put in your hand, you're meeting people that you just would not normally have the chance to meet. And they might not remember you particularly, but I tell you what, it's going to make a huge difference in our town as the church actually gets out of its buildings and together we go and make a difference on the streets. Yeah?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to hand this over to Brian and he's going to explain a little bit more specifically about what goes on. I knew I was missing something.
That's better. Praise God. Really excited. I hope you guys will be excited by the end of my 15 minutes I've got to share this with you. It's amazing what Paul's already said, because most of it I've got written down here to say myself. So thanks, Paul. So let's do it in 5 minutes. Who can qualify to be a street angel? How many of you are 18 years or over? And male or female? Can you stand up, those 18 years and over? Male, female? No porkies now. Come on. 18 or over. 18, Donna. Lottie. Almost 18. I think by the time it's running, you can stand up in faith. 18 or over. That's wonderful, isn't it? Just give a twirl, can you? Just twirl around a couple of times. That's great. Sit down again. That's just in case you're falling asleep. 18 or over. That's fantastic, isn't it? That's great. That's one of the stipulations. You've got to be 18 or over. Male or female, there's no maximum age. And for you women, you know, it's as important for you women as it is for the guys to be out as street angels. Because a lot of people can relate to a motherly figure than they can to a male sort of like domineering type person. So you bring a definite touch to street angels or street pastors. Favour is something that God has shown me to speak upon. When I spoke to Pastor Martin, he was just after I'd had a meeting with Paul and the council and the police and other church leaders, and he said a word that had been spoken over the church even before Paul and Kate had come to take up their position here in Scarborough was one of favour with the community and with the council. And it's coming to light. You know, the day is dawning. The day has dawned. And even as Pastor Paul was saying about the word that James Maloney brought about favour again with the community for this church. And let's have a look here. Psalm 84 and verse 1. Oh, that's wrong, isn't it? Okay, how lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Well, that's a good one. I don't know where I got that one from. Isaiah 61 and verse 2. Let's try that one. Praise God. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. How many brokenhearted have we got out there on a Friday and Saturday night?
Yeah, it's true.
To proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives. Plenty of them out there on a Friday and Saturday night. And the opening of the prison and the eyes to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favour, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And it goes on, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion. How many are mourning out there on a Friday night and a Saturday night? To give them an ornament or garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of a heavy burden and falling spirit. And they're the guys we're going to meet on the streets. I know, Phil, you're doing work already, and Paul as well, out on the streets on a Friday night, and you're meeting some of these youngsters. Street angels and street pastors, it's going to go out a little bit later on. We're looking about going on the streets between about maybe 9 o'clock till 3 in the morning. And the purpose of it is, Paul's already said, it's to take Christ Jesus onto the streets. Christ lives in me, lives in you, and that's the purpose of going out. And what it is just to be a listening ear. It's to be someone that people can come and talk to. It's to go and help somebody that's coming out of a club that's a bit worse for wear with the alcohol. You know, getting them into a taxi safely. Making sure that the people of Scarborough, as they come in on a Friday and Saturday night to enjoy themselves, can enjoy themselves but get home safely. And the purpose of street pastors is basically that. It's there so that we can help people get home safely. It's there that the women that go out at night, going to these discos and nightclubs, you know, they're about 6 foot taller because of high heels they wear. But once they've been dancing in them for about 2-3 hours, they come out in bare feet. And one of the traits of street pastors up north, when we were doing it there, was to carry flip-flops with us. And you go up to a lady who's walking around in bare feet trying to stagger home, or maybe not staggering, maybe she's quite sober, but she's walking in bare feet. And you just give her a pair of flip-flops. And there's a big smile on her face because her feet are so sore, you know, but she's happy that she's got something flat on her feet instead of these high heels. And, you know, you get more people wanting flip-flops as the summer comes along because they're going on their holidays, but you got to discern when to give them out, you know. No flip-flops before 10 o'clock at night, you know. Midnight and 2 o'clock, you know, you give out the flip-flops. But that's one of the things. Space blankets, the little space blankets you get, you know, they're metal sheet coverings that you get. They wear them after the London Marathon, that sort of thing. We carry one of those, you know, a couple of those with these. It's amazing that the youngsters these days, mainly female gender, that they go out in, well, not a lot, in the middle of winter, and once they've had a bit of alcohol, you know, they don't realise that the temperatures and the body heat can drastically reduce within minutes, you know, of just sitting in, you know, just maybe just walking the streets or just standing there waiting for their friends. And there's been times where we've just given one of these space blankets that they can wrap themselves in. And he goes, oh, these are warm, aren't they? Well, yeah, you know. Don't you ever listen to your mum, you know, wear a coat. But, you know, that's another trait, you know. But and as you build up, as street pastors built up in Perth, I mean, we started back in March this year. And once the public realise you're not just out there for one day or one night, you know, that you're doing it every night of the week, you know, every Friday night or Saturday night, whichever night it is we decide to go out, they start to build up a relationship with you, and you start to see people more often, you know, that go out every, you know, on that particular night, and they'll come and start chatting to you, and people start opening up to you. Oh, wow, you know, what's a street pastor? That's the first question you get. What's a street angel or a street pastor? And the question that you put to them is, it's, you know, a group of volunteers from the church that we come out on a Friday and Saturday night. What, you don't get paid for it? Well, no. You must be mad. Well, maybe. Well, why do you do it? Because we want to see you guys have a good time and get home safely. But what it is, you're expressing the love of Jesus Christ. You may not think what you're doing is doing a lot, but when people start coming to you and they start opening up their hearts to you, because they've recognized you on the streets. We had one woman in Perth, and she's in her mid-20s, early 30s. And she came out of a nightclub just as we were finishing off, and she saw the two of us. And she started speaking to us about a problem that she'd had, celebrating her anniversary, but her husband had committed suicide something like 5 years earlier. And we were the first people that she'd ever spoken to about this, that she'd been carrying it with her. She'd got a 16-year-old son. And she's talking to us for about half an hour. We ended up praying with her. We gave her a little Bible that she wanted to take with her. And we took some details that we could follow up. And it was just so amazing, this God opportunity, that the person that was with me, the other street pastor, who was female, she, Maggie, she'd gone through the same situation as this woman in her life. That her husband had committed suicide 5 years earlier, and she got a 16-year-old son. And what is that if it's not a God appointment, that out of 300, 400 people come out of a nightclub, that she comes to us and talks to us about this problem that she's had, you know. So that's just some of the things that can happen. And it's just so awesome to be able to have the church going out together. It builds relationships, not just with us and the community, but us and other agencies, us and other churches within Scarborough, because it's a church. It's not just Kingdom Faith, it's, as Paul's saying, but other churches have got an interest in wanting to go ahead with this. There's something in about God's favour in Samuel. When Samuel was growing up, he had the favour of God and of man. And that's exactly what God has placed us as a church here now, that we've got God's favour as well as man's favour. Man's favour is a council and the police coming to us saying, church, can you help us? We've got a problem. in Perth, we had to take street pastors to them and say, "Are you interested in that we run this?" Here, they're coming to the church saying, "Can you help us?" And it's such a great opportunity of being able to just to take Jesus Christ, the love of Christ, out onto the streets and to see a difference over the months and over the years that it'll continue to go on. Jesus says in John 7:38, he talks about rivers of living water. You know, it's this living water we want flowing out. You know, it's flowing out of us. What are we going to do with it? We're going to give it away, you know. It's for those that are out there that are struggling. It's the love of Christ. It's the passion of Christ. It's his favor. It's everything that Christ is to us that we want to let people out in the streets have some of what we've got. And the way to do that is to go out there and be visible. We're visible, we wear uniforms. You have a jacket and maybe a hat, and it's got here, it's going to be street angels. Back in Perth, it was street pastors, so you're visible. It's not yellow, the same as the police jackets. It's a different color jacket, a darker jacket. We don't want to be taken for police because we don't want to be get beaten up or things like that. Okay, so we want to stand out, but stand away from other authorities that are in the town. We don't work with the police. We work for them, if you like, or we work. Well, we work with them, we don't work for them, if you know what I mean, okay? We don't have any authority as for arrests or things like that, but we have the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's what makes a difference on the streets. That's why no street pastor, for the 8 years that it's been running throughout the world, throughout this country, Britain, has not one street pastor's been injured or been attacked. And why? Because we've got something in us. We've got Christ in us. Amen. And that's just awesome, you know, and just the opportunities and invitations that you get to pray with people on the streets. We don't go out intentionally to preach the gospel, to preach heaven and hell. We go out to show the love of Christ. We go out with a servant heart. And if the opportunity comes that people ask about your faith, then that gives the door open to explain why and what we're doing it for. Anything else here? Results. What's the results of street pastors? Well, in various towns, Paul's talked about the community, obviously, or the council and the police are looking to see street crime reduced. Well, it just so happens with the favor of God going out into the streets, that happens. There's a peace that hits a town that you just don't realize. The apprehension of street pastors or street angels going out for the first time, what we're going to expect, what we're going to face. I don't know what we're going to face or expect. Each town is different. Each town brings its own problems. But what I do know is as we go out, you take the light of Jesus Christ with us. We are the light of the world. We have God's peace in us. We take his peace forward. And he talks in Joshua about everywhere you place your foot, he gives it to us. You know, he's given us the land. We've got this land of Scarborough. And so with that in us, the peace and the love of Christ that goes on to the streets, it's not amazing to realize that no street pastor's been hurt in the years it's been going. The results of it, safer community, obedience to God for those who are called into this sort of work, better relationships and of how the church works. One thing about street angels, as Paul said, it is open to other volunteers, although they want the church to run it, which is great for us because it gives us an open canvas. Those that are coming in outside of the church that want to do it, they're going to see how the church works. They might be challenged themselves. You know, they might be coming in saying, well, I want to do something for the community, but then they realize how God works, you know, how Jesus Christ, the love of Christ works out on the streets, you know, as we pray together prior to going out, and also at the end of the evening. Reduce crime, to be able to be related to other agencies in the town, other voluntary agencies that go on. You probably know more of them than I do. There's a Cambridge Centre, isn't it? Is that for alcohol or drugs? Praise God for that. So that's one thing we can work with. And these are the numbers of people we can work with, you know. As we find people needing help on the streets, maybe with these problems, and are wanting to get rid of an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction, these agencies we can work alongside. There's a rainbow center as well. You know, that does a magnificent work. So we're not on our own. You know, we're just part of a small cog of a bigger picture that God wants to see people reached and touched within Scarborough. Amen.
Thanks, Brian. Well, that's cool, isn't it? You don't get that opportunity happening very often. Not only that, the council and the police are going to be funding it as well, and the council see no reason for ongoing funding to be available. They're quite keen because, did you know that a bottle broken in somebody's face causing an injury costs about £3,000 by the time you add up the emergency services involvement, the accident and emergency involvement, the calling the person out, apart from the personal cost. That's what it costs in money. So they see it as a way to save our community money as well. So that, you know, it's another big plus. Obviously, it's not for everybody, okay? But it might be for more people than you think. That's a bit what I was trying to say earlier. Don't just think that's for somebody else. Think, oh, well, maybe I could do that. It's going to mean about, I don't think you said this, did you? About one night a month. That's it. The reason some things, he said things like, oh, it might be a Friday, it might be a Saturday, we're not sure of the times yet. It's because we're working with the police to identify when's the best time to be out. You want to be out when, you don't want to be out when it's quiet. You want to be out when there are incidents. We also need to talk to other people and work with them. You know, I need to meet up with Sidewalk again. And see, a lot of times these things are linked in with Sidewalk and similar organisations. We've got to meet with people like you mentioned, like the Rainbow Centre and the Cambridge, which you know all about, the Cambridge Centre. So there's lots of communication and things got to go on. There is also 12 weeks of training, by the way, that you do initially. So you're not going out wondering what are we going to do. You're going to get first aid training. You're going to find out what it's like to be a doorman on the nightclubs. You're not going to actually do that, but you're going to find out what it is. You're going to find out more about the issues that face taxi drivers in the town late at night.
That's not 12 full weeks, that's just one night per week.
Yes, one night per, yes, not just all 12 weeks. One night for 12 weeks.
One night per week.
One night per week, 12 weeks. Got there. The last verse I've got really to read to you here is, fight the good fight of faith.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made your when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Yes.
Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. It's not just a passive thing. It's taking up opportunities that God gives us where God is prompting us and going for it. Now, specifically, to be part of this scheme, we've got some forms out in the crush hall out there, and I've got some here. If it hasn't got Kingdom Faith Church on the top, it might be worth you just writing that on. There's only a couple that have that I've got here. This is actually going back to the council, but then it will come back from the council to Brian and myself, really, so that we can get back in contact. You're not signing up saying, yes, I will go out one night a week. You're just signing up saying, yeah, I might be interested in that. I might be able to be part of that. And then there'll be an opportunity of getting everybody together from our church and from other churches so that you can find out a bit more before you say, right, I'll go for the training. I mean, you could go for the training, I guess, and then at the end of it say, look, I really can't do this. But actually, I think you're going to feel, I can do this because Christ lives in me. Amen. Amen. So do fill that in. And because the time scale is all quite sort of tight, can you get it off to the council? The address is on the bottom as soon as you possibly can. Or if you don't want to send it physically, there's an email address, sandrareese@scarborough.gov.uk. Send it in to Sandra, who's the council coordinator, and she, via email, okay? And then she got it. But make sure you take one of those forms. Everybody clear on that one?
Yeah.
We've given such a lot of time over it to this morning because I think this will open up many other doors for what God wants to do in our community. And it's just a great way to bless our community. We're not going out there to make Christians. We're going out there to love our community, to take the light into our community, to demonstrate the love of God in our community. It was the council that was actually saying to Brian and myself, well, hopefully you'll get more members through this. But that's not where we're going. Although that would be great too. You know, we want to see people saved. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. And we want to make the most of this by getting as many as we can who are part of Kingdom Faith, because we've got this initiative where the council is saying to Kingdom Faith Church, not just the church, but it's saying to Kingdom Faith Church, will you take the lead in this? Will you run with this? They're going to support. There's going to be a management committee that will mostly be responsible for looking after the finance and communication between the different agencies. But the actual running of the thing is basically us, which is cool.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Right. Let's stand, shall we? If the worship team could come forward, actually. We've just got a couple of things we need to do before we finish today. Let's just pray for a minute over what's been said. Father, we thank you. We really are gobsmacked, really, of what you've done here in opening this door to give us an opportunity to bless our community, to work within our community, to make a difference here in the town that you've already given to us. And Father, you've just opened this up, and we thank you. Father, I pray right now that by your Spirit, you speak to those who are here and those who are not here, Lord, that you would like to be part of this, that you are calling to be part of this, going out on the streets once a month and just taking the love of Christ. There are other people who probably otherwise would have no contact with the church whatsoever. So, Father, we thank you that this is going to make a difference in our town. It's going to make you famous in our town. It's going to be that from this that people will hear Jesus is in the house, Father. It's just an opportunity to live that promise. We're taking hold of that promise, Father, that it was heard Jesus was in the house. And Father, we're thanking you that this is another tool to fulfill that word in our community. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Speak now to people, Lord. I want you. Speak now to people, Lord. Let it be clear. Let people be challenged, Father, amongst us now. Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Now, in a minute, we're just going to take up our
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.